This is VOA News, reporting via remote. I'm Jeff Custer. Russia is claiming Tuesday it has occupied large swaths of eastern Ukraine after a relentless weeks-long barrage and the recent deployment of more troops. Russia Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said Tuesday that Moscow forces have liberated 90% of the Luhansk region. Russia appears bent on capturing the entire eastern Donbas part of Ukraine, which is made up of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. That goal appears to be its most immediate ambition in Ukraine. But while the Kremlin's forces have superior firepower, the Ukrainian defenders, among them the country's most well-trained forces, are entrenched and have shown the capability to counterattack. During a remote briefing on Tuesday, Ukraine military spokesman Alexander Stutpin confirmed Russian military strikes and shelling in the Donetsk region, but did not confirm those claims that from the Russian Defense Ministry that the strategic city of Severodonetsk was captured after days of back-and-forth street battles. He would only say the fighting in the eastern industrial city continues. Meanwhile, a Ukrainian military leader says the bodies of dozens of Ukrainian fighters killed at the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol have been returned to Ukraine by the Russians, who now occupy the fortress-like plant in the devastated city. The former leader and spokesman for the Azov Regiment, which helped defend the steel plant for weeks, said the dead have been taken from the ruins of the bombed-out mill and transferred to the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, where DNA testing is underway to identify the remains. The fighters' last-ditch stand became a symbol of resistance against Moscow's invasion. It's unclear how many bodies might remain in the plant. This is VOA News. The U.S. government is raising concerns about the potential for domestic violent extremism in 2022, a pivotal U.S. election year. Associated Press correspondent Jennifer King reports.
The Department of Homeland Security says several factors may worsen the threat of extremist violence inside the U.S. The latest bulletin from the National Terrorism Advisory System cites the looming Supreme Court decision on abortion, the midterm elections, an increase in migrants at the U.S. southern border, and racist shootings like the one in Buffalo that could be used to justify acts of violence against a range of possible targets. The department says calls for violence by domestic extremists directed at democratic institutions, candidates, and election workers will likely increase through the fall. It also warns that nations seeking to weaken the U.S. can be expected to amplify conspiracy theories and fake news in an attempt to divide American society. Jennifer King, Washington.
U.S. federal court records show that a U.S. woman is set to plead guilty to leading an all-female battalion of Islamic State militants in Syria. A plea hearing for Allison Fluke Ekron is scheduled for Tuesday in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, near Washington, D.C. Her lawyer did not immediately return an email from the Associated Press seeking comment. Fluke Ekron, who once lived in Kansas, was brought to the U.S. in January to face a criminal charge of providing material support to a foreign terrorist organization. Prosecutors say that starting in late 2016, she led an all-female Islamic State unit in the Syrian city of Raqqa that was trained in the use of AK-47 assault rifles, grenades, and suicide belts. A detention memo filed by the regional U.S. Attorney's Office charges Fluke Ekron trained children with how to use assault rifles, and at least one witness saw one of her children, approximately 6 or 7 years old, holding a machine gun in the family's home in Syria. A criminal complaint against Fluke Ekron was filed under seal in 2019, was not made public until she was brought back to the U.S. to face charges. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson working Tuesday to repair damage to his leadership by setting out a series of new policy proposals to ministers the day after he narrowly survived a confidence vote that revealed the scale of the threat to his position. Johnson won the ballot of Conservative Party lawmakers Monday evening, 211 votes to 148, enough to avoid being forced to resign, but larger than anticipated. A larger than anticipated rebellion within his party that leaves him weakened in battling to win back the confidence of his colleagues and the general public. In televised remarks to his cabinet Tuesday, Johnson thanked his ministers for their support as he urged them to push through reforms to lower costs for consumers, businesses, and the government. Repeating our top story this hour, Russia is claiming it has occupied large swaths of eastern Ukraine after a relentless weeks-long barrage and a recent deployment of more troops. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer. This